John chapter 15 and verse 10. Of course, in my Sunday school class, we've been going through John chapter 15. And I told my class, I actually got a message out of John 15 that I haven't really covered. I've covered sort of in the Sunday school class, but I wanted to preach on this. I think I have this morning a message that will help so many. And I trust you'll listen. It'll help you to just... those two words that I use all the time, I say them to our teenagers all the time, and you know, sometimes we just get used to hearing them, but I really mean them, and that is do right. And we just need to do right, honestly, and it will help us so much, I believe, this morning if we'll listen to the message from John chapter 15, verses 10 and 11. Father, bless the preaching. Please help me to say what I need to say today and help us to listen and hear what we need to hear. Holy Spirit, I pray you'll drive the points home to our hearts. And Lord, because of what we see from your word and because of how you speak to us, we'll be different and that we will keep your commandments. Please speak to our hearts now, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. He says in verse 10, "If ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full." Now, you know, I love verse 11, and certainly I use verse 11 often because I like joy. I like to be joyful, and I like to see God's people joyful. I see a lot of God's people, being a pastor, and I talk to a lot of God's people, and it's something that I notice, that there doesn't seem to be a lot of joy. And that's sad. And it breaks my heart, because of all people in the world, God's people ought to be the most joyful. Now, again, I'm not talking about happiness. I'm talking about joy. I'm talking about when there's trials, when there's problems, we still have the joy of the Lord in our lives. And the Bible says the joy of the Lord is our strength. And if we don't have that joy, then we don't have that strength. And I'm afraid that We see a pattern take place with not doing right, therefore we're not abiding in his love, therefore, as he says in verse 11, we miss out on his joy, and not only his joy, but a full joy that we could have. And it all starts with just keeping his commandments. Notice what he says, "If ye keep my commandments." This morning, I believe the key to our success as a Christian, and I think even the best way to not backslide, and the best way to have joy, and according to verse 11, full joy, is to keep his commandments. Simply keep his commandments. Now, the word keep there is the idea of guarding and doing. Certainly both are true, guarding his commandments, doing his commandments. But again, notice what he's saying here. He's saying keep the commandments. He's not saying keep the commandments as long as you feel like it. He's not saying keep the commandment as long as it's fun. He's not saying keep the commandment as long as you're cheerful about it. He's not saying keep the commandment as long as there's a good feeling about it. Are you listening? He just says keep my commandments. Keep the commandment. Not necessarily the feeling, but the commandment. That's what he wants us to do. Just keep the commandment. And obviously, he knows that we're going to fail in keeping his commandments. He knows that. That's why there's verses in the Bible, like 1 John 1:9, that if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. But I'm talking about folks today who right now you're doing right. But I'm afraid that you won't be doing right this time next year because of the thing that I want to try to show you today. And I believe there are folks here also that used to do right, faithfully do right, keep the commandments, but today you're not. And I think we're going to hit the reason why you're not today. And I hope it'll help you. If ye keep my commandments, he says. And again, the idea here is keeping his commandments. Not perfect, But I'm guarding it. I'm trying. I'm doing everything I can. The commandment is the key. I'm going to do what he says I need to do. I'm thinking about folks today that are not. Look at all the empty seats. People not in church. Those are people that used to teach Sunday school. Look at empty spots all over the auditorium. Those are people used to be on the bus routes. There's a reason. You see, somebody might say, well, I used to give cheerfully. You know, the Bible says the Lord loveth a cheerful giver. The Berean Bible says Tim loveth any giver. He doesn't care, you know. But no, Berean doesn't have a different Bible. But you say, well, you know, I used to give cheerfully. But here's what happened. You became uncheerful and then you quit giving. Oh, it happens all the time. You know, money didn't come in like you thought it was supposed to, and all of a sudden one day you weren't so cheerful about giving. Well, I put the offering in, but boy, I'm mad about it. Okay, well, fine. But you know what? You did keep the commandment, didn't you? But see, the next week you said, since I'm mad about it, I'm not cheerful anymore about it, I'm going to quit giving. That's when you broke the commandment. You understand, the Lord loveth the cheerful giver doesn't mean you have to only give when you're cheerful. We give anyway because the tithe is the Lord's and it's right. Notice what he said, keep my commandments. Doesn't matter how you keep it, just keep my commandments. You used to go soul winning and you would say, oh preacher, I went soul winning and I had tears in my eyes. And that's a wonderful thing. And we're supposed to weep. The Bible says, go forth weeping, bearing precious seed. But the truth of the matter is, here's what happened to you. You lost your tears and then you quit going soul winning. Now the losing of the tears was not disobedience to God. The losing of the tears was not backsliding. The losing of the tears was not wrong. What was wrong was when you quit. Hello. You used to, you know, and people say, oh, I used to be thrilled reading my Bible. And then a day came when you weren't thrilled, so you quit reading your Bible. Could I submit to you that losing the thrill was not a sin? Losing the thrill was not bad in and of itself. You know what was bad? It's when you quit. And you know what else is bad? It's bad when the only time we read our Bible is when we're thrilled. Why? Because God said, if you keep my commandments. Okay, here's why some of you don't have any joy. Because you quit doing things, because the only reason you did things is because you were thrilled about doing those things, or it was fun doing those things, or you were cheerful about doing those things, or you had a real deep burden about those things. But God never said you had to be thrilled or have a burden or be excited about it. He just said, I want you to do it. I'm talking this morning about character instead of feeling. I'm talking about doing right because it's right, whether it's fun or whether it's thrilling or not, just doing right. You say, oh, preacher, I remember the day when I was glad to go to church. I mean, I was just really glad to go to church. And you know what? That was a wonderful thing, wasn't it? The only problem is you lost your gladness and so you quit going to church. You know what? The losing of the gladness wasn't a sin. The losing of the gladness didn't steal your joy of the Lord. It didn't steal anything from God because God said, I just want you to keep the commandment. It's when you said, well, I'm not glad anymore, so I'm going to quit going to church. I've had people say to me that are not even in church, I remember when I used to enjoy praying to God. I used to just love taking time out and spending time with God. I'd get on my knees and pray, and I enjoyed my prayer time with God. And the only problem with that is this. When you lost the enjoyment, you quit praying. This room's full of people, just like I just mentioned, already. Oh, I was so excited about my Sunday school class. I mean, those kids would stand there, and I was so excited about teaching them the Bible. But then a few weeks came where you weren't so excited, so you quit your class. You see what I'm saying? Preacher, I used to rejoice to get up and sing. God gave me a nice voice and a voice I could sing. And boy, I used to get up and sing and in church and in the choir. And I mean, I rejoiced. And the problem is, it became a drudgery to you, and therefore you quit doing it. See, that's why these pews aren't full. Because there's people that were sitting in these pews. And I'm telling you, in many, many cases, right here is the reason. They just didn't keep going with the commandments because some emotion, some thrill, some cheer, some whatever you want to call it, that is a natural response. When they lost that thrill, they quit. There's people right on that edge right now. Well, it's just not exciting to me anymore. Well, but just keep doing it because God, hey, look, you have, hey, the fact it's not exciting, you've not sinned. In fact, probably that's not even your fault. You know, sometimes God allows some things to happen just to see what we're really made out of. That's why I say to people, do right. Just do right. Some young person will come and say, I'm having a hard time. I'll say, you know what? Just do right. Oh, listen, I know what hard times are. I get hard times all the time. Just do right. I say it to myself. Okay, grouch, just do right. You know, what's that mean? Well, do right means smile. Yeah, you ever force a smile? You know, where you don't want to smile, but you got to smile? You know, like when you're getting pictures taken? You know, everybody says, smile! And you say, you know what I mean? Just do right. Amen? Boy, this is good stuff. See, here's the problem. If you quit keeping the commandments, that's where there's a problem. Right there. If you quit doing what you know you're supposed to do, that's the problem. Well, if I can't give cheerfully, I just won't give. That's where you've sinned against God. God, hey, He doesn't command us to be cheerful. He just said He loves a cheerful giver. He wants it to be like that. But the truth of the matter is, we still need to keep going. If it means you sign that check and you write it real hard so Tim gets the point. Doesn't matter to God. Huh? Amen. I can tell this is not going over. This is, you think this is bad, wait till tonight. See, here's the thing. People quit because they lost the thrill or the cheerfulness. Huh? That's why. No, notice our text here. He says, if you keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Do you suppose there were ever days Jesus didn't feel good? I promise you this, when they took the crown of thorns and they stuck it in his head, he didn't feel too good. I can assure you, when wicked men were spitting all over him, he didn't feel too good. When they cursed at him, he didn't feel real good. He said, hanging on the cross, I thirst! He didn't feel so good. He experienced anguish in the Garden of Gethsemane. And many times he was disappointed with the people who were with him. Are you listening? But he kept the commandment. He just kept going. He said, if ye keep my commandments, ye shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. You know what's missing in your life? Just the keeping of commandments. Just doing right. That's all. And I'm not talking about hard stuff. I'm just talking about basic Christian life. That's a Sunday morning message. I'm talking about tithing. I'm talking about church attendance. I'm talking about reading your Bible. I'm talking about prayer. I'm talking about basic Christian life, just doing right. Well, I'm not excited about it. I used to be thrilled about it. But you don't have to be thrilled to keep the commandments. Just keep the commandments. But again, we're talking about character. The key is keep the commandments because it's right and the rest will follow. It will follow. It will. Let me give you some points. Number one, we must learn to do right. We have to learn to do right. It all starts that way. I mean, honestly, you know, we are by nature sinners. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We talked about this as we've been going through John 15. You know, little babies, you don't have to teach them how to sin. They just know how to sin. By nature, we're sinners. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. You know, you say about your child, they just want their own way. Yeah, that's how we are. That's how your children are, and that's how you are. And that's how I am. We just want our own way. Doing right is not natural. Doing right is something that we have to learn. It is something we have to be taught. It is something we have to grow into. And look, if you're going to do right, you must learn to do right. Laziness is natural for us, right? I mean, it is. Work has to be learned. I talk to our businessmen and talk to other business people around town, and they say, you know, the hardest thing today is finding somebody who will work. I mean, they'll work. Well, what'd you hire him to do? I hired him to work. What's their problem? I don't know. They signed up to work. They just don't work. Hello? People have to learn. You know, if you're not teaching Throckmorton how to work at home, you're doing Throckmorton a real disservice. And then little Throck is now a big teenager, and he's trying to get a job, and they say, what can you do? And he says, I don't know. You never taught him how to work. And he doesn't know how to do any kind of work. And he doesn't have the character to work. You know what? He'll never like work. Because the truth of the matter is, most of us started working and we didn't necessarily like it. We knew we had to do it. But eventually we like it. I mean, there's parts about it that we like, especially the paycheck. Laziness is natural. Work has to be learned. Complaining is natural. Are you listening? It's very natural. You say, boy, so-and-so complains all the time. That's their natural habitat. Do you understand? Contentment has to be learned. Brother Stewart last week preached about contentment. And what was the contentment we had to learn about? Jesus said, I'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. Yeah. You got to learn that. Huh? You have to learn that, okay, if I'm going to be content, I've got to be content with the one who's always there. I'll get my contentment out of him. That means if it's raining, I can be content. That means if it's snowing in June, I can be content. Oh, don't count it out, folks. It could happen. This is Michigan. I mean, it does not matter what's going on. If I have a flat tire, I could be content. Why? Jesus is always with me. You could always be content, but it doesn't just happen. We want to gripe and complain about everything. But see, we have to learn to be content. We have to learn to do right. Our bad temper, that comes natural. We have to learn self-control. Pride, that's natural. We have to learn humility. Slothfulness, that's natural. Diligence, that has to be learned. You know, God didn't give children to parents, but God gave parents to children to train them and to teach them to do right and to have character to do right whether it feels good or not. We live in a day, if it doesn't feel good, we don't do it. That's why there's so many fat people. Amen. I don't know how many letters I've got from parents. We need PE in school because the elementary kids are getting fat. Look around at America. I'm serious. It amazes me that it's the earth still spins. Seriously. I keep thinking because of Americans, I keep thinking somehow it's going to get off and going to... It's scary. I'm glad you like that. You know, we have to teach these things. We have to, I mean, the truth of the matter is, most of us, if we didn't learn when to stop eating, we would eat till we explode. That's kind of a Baptist tradition. We have to learn to do right. We are not, it doesn't just come natural. We have to learn to do right. Number two, doing right is seldom enjoyable at first. It's just not fun at first. Let's be honest. Most doing right just isn't fun at first. Now, of course, our spiritual people would all say, oh, bless God, I love to pray, amen, glory to God. I love to read my Bible, hallelujah, glory to God. We'd get real pious on that, but the truth of the matter is, at first, it wasn't so hot. Don't get pharisaical either. First time I opened up the Bible, I read the whole thing. God came down. All right, well, I'm telling you. First time I tithed, I've told you the story. God spoke to my heart about tithing. My wife, I don't remember, it seems like the check was $30. That's what stays in my mind. $30 or $35 total. So she was probably making $150 and I was making $200 or something like that. And I'll never forget, she wrote out the check, put it in the envelope, and handed that to me. And there we sat in the church, and I'm holding on to that thing, trembling. And here come the ushers. And I mean, it's time. And we're going to start tithing. God spoke to my heart. I'm going to tithe. But it was like $35. And I'm thinking, $35? What can I do with $35? And my hand was shaking. And the ushers came, and they're always smiling. You know what I'm talking about? A good usher should smile, really. But sometimes when you got those people there that are trembling, your smile really is not comforting at all. It's kind of like, gotcha. Kind of like Steve on a Wednesday night. It's just, I'm telling you, and I'll never forget. Where was your faith? There wasn't any. Where was your cheerfulness? There wasn't any. Well, what about God's blessing? I didn't think about that. What were you doing? I was obeying. I was just obeying. That's all. There was nothing fun about it. There was nothing thrilling about it. There was nothing joyful about it. Nothing. I put that in the plate and I held the plate. I started to pass the plate and held on to the envelope. I did not want to let go of the $35 check. Finally, I let go. I think Brenda probably elbowed me, kicked me or something. I don't know. But finally, I let it go and then I watched it all the way down to a smiling usher. I watched it go behind us to another smiling usher. I turned and watched the thing go all the way to the back, trying to figure out how I could leave to go maybe have a restroom break and get it out of there. I wanted to cancel the check the next day. I'm just saying, there was nothing spiritual except one thing. And you know what? It was the one thing that mattered. I kept the commandment. You said, well, I just don't feel good about it anymore. Do it anyway. Amen. It's seldom enjoyable at first. Very, very rarely. The first time I prayed, I bless God, I'm going to pray for an hour. I'll never forget it. And I started praying. And when I thought my hour was up, it was grueling. Are you listening to me? It was grueling. It was hard. I prayed. I thought I prayed for everything in the world. And I thought, whew, ah, boy, the hour's up. Looked at my watch. It had been 5 minutes. Hello. You say, well, how'd it feel? It felt terrible. Well, you're our pastor. That's not supposed to be. Look, I'm telling you, the experience was not a good experience. And I'm going to be real honest with you. Sometimes even now, I pray and it's like nothing's happening. But you know, the truth of the matter is, I'm obeying God. So something did happen. First time my wife and I went soul winning together, Carl Hatch was in town. And if you know Carl Hatch, you know, he had us, you just do whatever. All I knew was I wasn't going with him. That I knew. And so we were ready to go soul winning. And do you remember this? And we were out in our little neighborhood, and I was hoping beyond measure that no one was going to be home. I actually, and this sounds strange, but I prayed, God, please don't let anyone be home. I'm serious. You say, were you thrilled? No, I was terrified. Were you happy? No, I was scared to death. Did you want to do it? I wanted to do anything else. I wanted everyone to be gone. I wanted people to have car wrecks before they got home. I didn't care. Are you listening? You say, preach, that's how I felt, and then I quit going. Uh-huh, and that's your problem. Because the truth of the matter is, it doesn't matter how I felt. It doesn't even matter. You say, well, you were callous. No, I was obeying God. Well, if you don't go forth with tears in your eyes, very, very seldom have I gone forth with tears in my eyes. People don't appreciate coming to the door, seeing people with tears in their eyes. Amen. I'm just trying to help you. First time I even realized there was Sunday evening church, I thought, why? We just had church. It was Sunday morning. Hey, we'll see you tonight. Why? All the good TV shows are on Sunday night. Why would I come to church on Sunday night? Huh? Are you saying, preacher, you didn't enjoy it? I wanted to be anywhere else than church on Sunday night. Are you listening? Well, why'd you go? I started going because God said to. And I sat there like some of you sit there, and I thought, why am I here? This isn't fun. I could be having a lot more fun. You know what, though? Now it's fun. After I started going on Sunday night, I realized there was this thing called Wednesday night church. And I really didn't understand that. Because all the better shows were on Wednesday nights. Why would they have church? I finally figured out the reason they had church on Wednesday night and told us we had to go is because they didn't want us watching those shows. But you say, preacher, I bet the first time you went on a Wednesday night, God came down into your soul. No, I griped and complained pretty much the whole time in my heart. Doing right is seldom enjoyable at first. First time I heard the right music, sweet little old lady got up to sing, named Mrs. Blinn. She was well upholstered. And she got up, and she sang, Amazing Grace. I can't even hit the note. I sat there and I thought, whoa. Brother Boone got up, and he sang, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. I said, he's not quite Alice Cooper. You say, do you like it? tears. I'm serious. I said, this is not groovy. I didn't understand. I'm just telling you something. But you know what? I sat and I listened, and we got records and 8 tracks of Christian music, and you know, I remember after several weeks, I remember the next time Mrs. Blinn got up and sang, I saw the tear in her eye when she sang. I saw what was in her heart when she sang. And it was God started helping me like the music that she sang. You understand, doing right is seldom enjoyable. It's not always enjoyable, but it's always right. It's just always right. Now I enjoy these things most of the time. But even some of the time, I do them because they're right to do. And you need to learn to do them because they're right, because Jesus said, if you keep my commandments, then these things will happen. When you have to be cheerful to give, you're in trouble. Because you're not going to give. You're going to disobey God. When you have to be thrilled to read your Bible, you're in trouble, because you're not going to read your Bible. When you have to weep to be a soul winner, you're going to be in trouble, because you'll never tell anybody about Jesus unless you're weeping. When you have to enjoy prayer in order to pray, then you're in trouble. When you have to be glad to come to church in order to come to church, you're in danger of disobeying God. Yes. You're not much of a Christian if you keep the commandments of God only when you want to. We're not much of a Christian if we keep the commandments of God only when it feels good. Amen. I'll be honest with you. Brenda and I were just talking about this the other day. I don't like crowds. I've never liked crowds. My dad was almost a hermit. He liked just be alone, and I like to be alone. With my wife. I don't like crowds. It's funny. We laugh about it all the time. I mean, deep down, it's just tough for me. I'm not comfortable. I won't say I don't like crowds. I'm just not comfortable with crowds. But you know what? I've spent the majority of my life trying to get a bigger crowd. Why? Because that's what God told me to do. Now, I'm not comfortable. I'm more comfortable alone. We talk about getting 5 acres on top of a mountain somewhere. We'll never do it, but sounds good to talk about anyway. Can I confess something to you? I don't like funerals. I'm not comfortable at all with funerals. I've never been comfortable with funerals. I don't even like to go to funerals, let alone do funerals. So I said, preacher, you do such good funerals. I don't like to. Well, why do you do it? And why do you do it so well? God tells me to. Every funeral. So sometimes you say, oh, preacher's praying so hard that person lives. It's because I don't want to do the funeral. I'm serious. I'm dreading it. Is that the truth? I'm dreading it. I don't want to do the... But you say, what? Boy, it's just, you're such a natural. I don't want to be. But you know what? I do want to obey him. You are not going to believe this, but I do not want to ever be in front of little children doing any kind of service. Ever. It's funny, isn't it? But I do it. It's the most awkward thing in the world to me. You say, well, what's this thing about Wednesday nights? I haven't got the slightest idea. What about vacation Bible school? That's why we hire somebody else to come in and do it. That's why we have Coach Cletus Adidas coming. I'm just saying this. Folks, you're going to find out in Christian service, there are so many things you may not like to do, but you need to do. Just go ahead and do them. Inspiration never has done much. Boy, write that down. Inspiration never has done much, but character will always do much. Huh? So I don't remember much of my Bible reading. That's fine. Keep reading it, because it's just like if you pour water through a strainer, you'll have a cleaner strainer. Amen? It may go right through, but at least it's clean. Pray if you even have to grumble doing it. Tithe even if you're mad about it. Do right no matter how you feel. Just try to imagine this. You're standing before the judge, and you're answering for a speeding ticket. And you say to the judge, "Your Honor, here's my case right here, okay? I could not go 55 cheerfully. Am I excused now?" Yeah. See, verse 14, "Ye are my friends if ye do whatsoever I command you." It doesn't say how to do whatsoever I command you. It doesn't say it has to be fun. It doesn't say it has to be enjoyable or any of that, because it's not enjoyable at first. It's not always thrilling, but we do it anyway because it's right, and that's what he said to do. Keep my commandments. Last thing, number three, let character do it until you are thrilled. Just do it. Just do right. And until you are thrilled, because you will be thrilled someday. If you do right until you die, when you get to heaven, you'll be thrilled that you did right. Now, most of the time, you're going to be thrilled in the process of doing right. I know that's true with me. I know that's true with, you know, your mom's always made you try things. I remember I could not even look at a mushroom. I mean, I just couldn't even imagine it. And grandma and mom both knew how to fry mushrooms. Thank God they've taught my wife how to do it. But I would not. And finally, Dad said, just try one. You're going to try a mushroom. I said, I can't do it. And he stuck that thing in my mouth. I'm screaming, It's hard to admit, you know, when you've carried on for so long. Dad, I'll never forget the day my dad said, "Son, I regret the day I taught you to eat mushrooms, because now I never get any." I'm serious. You know what? I love reading my Bible now, but there's been times I didn't. Hey, you know, just do right until you are thrilled. It's like a student studying. I mean, I'm just thrilled to study. You know, I've asked several students, "Well, now that school's out, aren't you anxious to get back in school?" And they all look at me like, "Duh." Right? Yeah. "Hey, don't you just love studying?" Well, I'll tell you what. When they walk across the platform and get a diploma, they're glad they studied. Amen. You know, you think of basketball practice. Nobody likes basketball practice. Coaches don't like basketball practice. Nobody likes basketball practice. But we like winning the state tournament. I mean, come on. Just do it. Do right until you're thrilled for doing right. Prayer time, Bible reading, tithing. It happens to everybody. Soul winning. Huh? Sunday school class, you know, your bus route, whatever it is. You know, coming to church, "Well, I'd rather stay home." Well, go anyway. There'll be a day you'll be glad that you did. Amen. Let character kick in. Do it anyway. And you will eventually be thrilled that you did right. Let me say this. God is more pleased when we do right, not inspired, than we do right only when we're inspired. Did you hear what I said? I didn't catch all that. Let me say it again. I will. All right. God is more pleased when we do right, not inspired, than when we do right only when we're inspired. He wants you just to do right. Amen. Do you know your mom never praised you for eating all of your hot fudge sundae? "Wow, look at that. Poindexter ate all of his hot fudge sundae. Good boy." Never. My mom never did have to say that to me. Not only did I eat mine, I would eat hers, Dad's, everybody else's in the room. But, cooked carrots, asparagus, broccoli. Remember? "Oh! He ate all these peas. Good boy. Right? I don't like it. Then do it anyway. Right? Mm-hmm. Not excited about baptism? Just do right. Get baptized. But my hair. I understand. Just do right. Going to church? Just do right. Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, going soul winning, just do right. Read your Bible, do right. Pray, do right. Just do it now. Do right, and the thrill will come. And according to the Bible here, joy is going to come along with that. And it's going to be joy that is full joy. The key thing of all of this, and I'm done, keep the commandments. That's what he wants us, just keep, guard those commandments. All right. I don't want to do this, but I'm going to do it anyway. And you should. And the thrill will come. Maybe you're here this morning and you say, well, I don't feel like getting saved. My question to you is not whether you feel like it or not. My question is, do you know you need to? Do you know that you need to get saved? If you died right now, do you know for sure you'd go to heaven? I mean, you're here this morning and you don't even know that. You're not sure that if you died, you'd go to heaven or not. You don't know. You don't know. Well, preacher, I don't feel like that. But wait a minute. But do you want to go to hell? Well, no, I don't want to go to hell. Then do you know that Jesus said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved? Do you know that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sins for you? Do you know that Jesus wants you to be saved today? And if you'll call on him and you'll ask him to forgive you, he will come into your heart and he'll save you today. Do you know that? Well, yeah. Then it doesn't matter how you feel, does it? Doesn't matter how you feel. If you know that you call upon Jesus Christ and you know that he'll come into your heart and save you, then you ought to call on Jesus. And you ought to let him come into your heart and save you and give you a home in heaven. The Bible says, whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. Do you know that today? Do you want to do that? Do you want to have that in your future? Or would you rather go to a place called heaven because you trusted Jesus as your Savior? See, again, it's not about feeling. It's not about what I feel. It's about what do we know? What do we know? And my Bible says you can know that you have eternal life. Let's all bow our heads, please.